to the committee. Before we do that, we will want to get from Ntate Voltina whether we've got some apologies or not. Ntate Voltina.
Hello, Chairperson. Thank you. Thanks, sir. Morning, sir, and morning to the all committee members. Chairperson, I have only one apology. Ntate April is going to join us up to 9:30 because the other committee of him, small business, is also sitting, Chairperson. That's the only apology we have. He will be with us from the beginning, then he will leave us halfway through to join small business.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
We take this opportunity, honorable members, to welcome all of you once more, and also welcome the collective of the leadership of SA Tourism, led by the minister and the deputy minister. We also want to take this opportunity to welcome those who run the administration, the bureaucrats that I refer to as the rivocrats of both the department and SA Tourism, the administration of the Portfolio Committee of Tourism in Parliament, but also the South Africans who have got interest in the proceedings of this Portfolio Committee on different platforms provided to them by South African Parliament for them to observe and participate in what is happening in Parliament. We welcome you, fellow South Africans, to this particular meeting of the committee. Today we are going to be getting a report from SA Tourism regarding performance in quarter 2 and quarter 3. We have already engaged the department on the same matters last week. Today we are completing the chapter. We must all remember, honorable members, that none of us could anticipate that we were going to have COVID-19. Therefore, the environment within which we are using our programs has been adversely affected by COVID-19, because what was primary among all of us was the need to save lives. And therefore, everything else had to be rearranged in the middle of this pandemic. And the report we got from the department last week was that everything possible was done to ensure that in the administration of the department, nobody was affected negatively by COVID-19. So we want to applaud the department for that initiative, and making sure that the necessary environment, support, everything else is provided to the staff. SA Tourism has been the same. We have been seeing the minister going around to reactivate the tourism accompanied by SA Tourism. They were in the Northern Cape. We applaud you for that, so that positive message can begin, that we can use the fact that we are now in level 1. To begin to gradually work on the necessary resuscitation of tourism so that we can gradually contribute towards an idea of resuscitating entrepreneurship, the issues of jobs, creating new jobs, sustaining the existing ones, expansion of the existing enterprises that may be there, and so on. So we hope going forward the situation will improve. So what will now happen is that we'll allow the minister or the chair of the SA Tourism to lead us in this regard, after which a presentation will be done by SA Tourism and that this is Anchona and your collective, led by the chair, of course. We will then engage with the presentation, after which honorable members will release the essays on the department and then deal with matters pertaining to ourselves as the committee, which include some of the decisions we have taken in the past. And specifically, we are going to be dealing with the agreement we took for us to do an oversight visit to Limpopo and go and do an oversight again in Cape Town. Ausma Moloko, Namasa, I'm now handing over to you, my sister.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. The Chairperson of the Board of SAT, together with the Deputy Chairman and members who have joined, the Executive of SAT, DDG, whose oversight responsibility on SAT is here. Chair, my sincere apology, I was throughout the meeting. We've got a critical anthropology again today, so I'm going to just join, greet colleagues from our side, and then I will be able to, I think the board will be able to, together with the executive, get to with the issues that relate to quarter two and quarter three performance. I think it's important from my side just to flag that 1 year ago, this is the day where we call stakeholders in terms of looking at tourism, COVID-19, potential impact of COVID-19 in the tourism sector. I know at that time some people thought we were overreacting when we were saying we need to start looking at the impact, doing three scenarios, scenario one, scenario two, scenario. And we are looking at now that we are actually faced with scenario three as we did that meeting in that time. But I think, Chair, over time, we've learned to live with the virus. We are learning to live with it, alongside with it. And we are making sure that we sustain ourselves. We are finding ways to ensure that the sector can survive and can be able to ensure that we put in place protocols that will assist us to not the centers of the spread of the virus, but actually help the country to manage the pandemic as we are involved in, as we took the strategy of risk adjusted strategy. Chairperson, just to indicate, honorable members, which is not reflected in the quarter two and quarter three, but as an executive executive authority and then a representative of the shareholder in SAT responsible for that, I do need to indicate that two important processes that SAT is embarking, or three important processes that SAT is embarking on, or we are embarking on. The first one is around the work that broadly is done by government on the restructuring and review. Not restructuring, repurposing and repositioning of state-owned entities. SAT is also identified as one of the entities that we have to look across in government, specifically bodies that deal with marketing, brand issues, where there are duplicates, where there are overlaps, and how do we deal with that? That's the first thing. The second one, so in that regard, we are still in progress. Once we have been to cabinet chair, we'll definitely come to the portfolio committee and inform members in terms of that work. That's the first thing. The second one is that members would have noted that we have shifted in terms of the board recruitment, as the board term is coming to an end. While we noting that there's repurposing and repositioning of entities, we do not want to have a vacuum of leadership, because we do believe that if should that happen, we'll have collapse of systems and governance. So we want to continue to ensure that we are on the right path of governance and that we continue to be an accounting authority in terms of SAT. If I'm not mistaken, the process closes this week on the 15th, if I'm not mistaken, and then we'll be able to process and consult receive cabinet's concurrence in that regard. The last one is that SAT board has gone out. You'd have noted that an advert has gone out in recruiting of the CEO of the entity, and that as well the SAT board would be able to take. I am aware of the process that it has started, and they've made calls in terms of those who are interested in applying to look for in terms of a CEO position. Similarly, taking cognizance that we are in the process, but we do not want to have a vacuum of leadership, and that's why from the point of view support the process by the board in terms of ensuring that we are ready, in terms of ensuring that continuously we have leadership in terms of SAT. One of the things that I've requested, Chair, is that as we sit now, we've done enough work, or sufficient work, not enough, sufficient work we'll continue to do in terms of the domestic market. marketing and promoting South Africa. But we do pick up that there's quite a lot of issues that we need to do in terms of improvement, conversations that we need to have in explaining how South Africa is managing the pandemic, how we are dealing with the variant and how the variant is. Because we are picking up, there's quite a lot of misunderstanding of what is happening in terms of where we are actually. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is that we are picking up that you find that some countries are starting to isolate South Africa. So we will be embarking now robustly in engagements with those ambassadors, the ministers in those countries of tourism, but also our stakeholders, so that we start resuscitating mainly and rebuilding confidence in terms of our international market. That will start this week with our participation in ITB and online. And then from there, we'll continue with the work in engaging various platforms and media and critical stakeholders as part of that. So that's it from my side, Chair, in terms of just what we are doing in the work. We'll continue to provide support that is necessary for SAT to be able to reach its objectives. Thank you very much, Chair. I would hand over to the Chairperson of the Board together with the executive. Chair, if I may be allowed to be excused, I just make sure that I join. In case there are issues, we'll be able to interact with the portfolio committee. But apologize, I do want to sit through the committee, but do apologize because we are discussing critical matters and NCCC, and I am needed because it's our sector that really affected, Chair. And thank you.
Minister, thank you very much. You have always been consistent in attending to accountability to the portfolio committee, and we must continue to applaud you for that. It's an institutional obligation. And you have always indicated to us when you needed to be released, you don't just vanish. So for that, we appreciate. So you are released, Minister, the right time when you need to go, there's no problem. Your team is quite capable of handling matters. I don't know if the Deputy Minister is around, but even if the Deputy Minister is not on the platform, the Chairperson of the Board, together with the Board, the CEO, we will have no problem in them reporting to the Portfolio Committee on your behalf.
Thank you very much. I just noticed, my apologies, Chair. DM is here. My apologies, DM. I joined late. I didn't notice that you are here. Good morning, DM. I'll leave the delegation under the leadership of the DM.
Sure. Dada Mahlalela, thank you very much. Good morning, Dada Mahlalela. Honorable Deputy Minister, Companheiro, we are now handing over to you to do the transition from Minister to you, then from you to the board. Companheiro.
Thanks very much, Chair, and good morning, Minister, and good morning, members. Well, the Minister has already outlined the work that we're doing. Without waste of time, we'll hand over to the Chair of the Board and his team to take the committee through the presentation.
Thank you, Deputy Minister Mahlalela. Good morning, Chair of the Portfolio Committee and Honourable Members. The Minister is still here. Good morning, Minister. Good morning again to the DM, the officials from the Department, Deputy Chair of the Board of SAT. Good morning as well. And good morning to the SAT Executive and the CEO, Mr. Sisanchona. Chair, as we report on the performance for quarter two and quarter three of the current financial year of the performance of the entity, South African Tourism, let's maybe go a step back in terms of what transpired as we were already in the midst of the current year. With the closing of the border when the case zero was reported in South Africa, which was around about the 27th of March. Subsequent to that, there was a process, Chair, to revisit our plans, which were finalized around June. And we presented to the committee as a revised APP, but also there was the need to reallocate, prioritize our budget, where about 66% of our budget that was allocated at the beginning of the year had to be submitted to the Treasury or the department so that it can assist in the areas of PPE, helping our frontline workers to assist with the fight against the pandemic. So as we were revising our plans, the focus was rather than planning for the outward facing marketing activities, of which we're clear that they will actually be using resources in vain because we couldn't market aggressively as we used to, knowing that no one actually would be able to travel to the country in any event. But also that presented challenges in terms of one did not know how long the impact or the disruptions of the pandemic were going to last. So the revised plan mainly focused on how best to prepare the entity, South African Tourism processes, looking at our IT systems and so on and so forth, so that when the sector reopened, anticipating that towards the third, fourth quarter, we'll be able to have gotten a better handle of the impact of the pandemic, and therefore we should be in a position to have placed the entity at a position where it can respond actively and seamlessly when the situation turns around. But also during the period of which we are reporting, which is quarter three, you will also recall, honorable members, that there was also another lockdown around December, which has just been reopened again. So the objective is to highlight the environment within which, with the best of plans and with the best of scenario planning, things change unexpectedly under the current circumstances, and therefore with that. Yes, the performance is there, almost similar to the second to the fourth, to say that there is a bit of a challenge in terms of being able to plan accurately in the current environment. And with that, Chair, perhaps let me invite the CEO so that we can go to the presentation in detail. And of course, there are instances we have not met the targets. I think it's about three of those in both quarters. And there are reasons for that. And also what turnaround plans and action plans was since instituted so that by the time we get to the year end, those targets are then reached. And the CEO is going to report that, yes, as we are sitting today, those targets were subsequently achieved. So, Chair, allow me to invite the CEO. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, honorable members. Good morning, Chair. Thank you very much for the opportunity to come and present our Q2 and Q3 results. As usual, I am accompanied by my entire executive team, who are here essentially to make sure that we're able to take care of any questions or further explanation. The chair has already given quite a comprehensive contextualization, so I'm not going to waste too much time and I'll go straight into the presentation itself. It is quite a lengthy presentation, 47 pages. I will not go through all of the 47 pages. Essentially, the presentation was already given up front, so members would have engaged with it, and I'll rather touch on action items that I'd like to bring, you know, to your attention and focus. Just the flow of the presentation today really starts with the setup, which the chair has really gone to quite length about, to remind everybody of the time that we're in. And just to kind of give context, Q2 was at the end of September 2020, Q3 was the end of November 2020 as well. And, that was the year essentially which we were finding our way around, the COVID pandemic. And as the minister had said, throwing various, scenarios as to where things could happen. Our APP was revised midstream last year in order to take into account the changed environment so that we can be accountable essentially towards some of those targets that are there. This is just a simple visual roadmap in terms of kind of the movement of where we found ourselves. Essentially coming at the end of March, 27th of March, hard lockdown. In fact, that lockdown did not even have a level. It just got lockdown as it were. And again, giving a sense of how restricted internal movement for several months, where we could not leave our own homes, as an example, only for essential services, hit by load shedding in the middle of that, essentially, and, you know, essentially where we find ourselves, you know, with the new brand attack, I can call it that, on South African brand at large, associated with the South African variant, as it were. Again, here, I'm not spending too much time on the slide, but again, giving context, which we've gone through quite comprehensively. This is just a visual representation then of seeing we got off to a bumper start January, February, and just a steep decline coming hit by April. In our space, just to remind everybody, the first impact and the signs of the pandemic were really felt in our MICE sector, you know, meetings, incentives, conferences and exhibitions, where we adopt a bulk acquisition approach to it. And when you postpone one conference, essentially you can have 5,000 delegates not being able to come through, and that has a ripple effect of what you can see through come on the other side. And then similarly here, it gives you a bit of movement in our airports, also aligned, you know, with the number of people who come through the country. In the midst of all of this, you would all know that we started to come up with a recovery plan, and there's a sense of looking through this noise and making sure that we can start to, you know, be bolstered on the other side. What was important, however, was to press a fresh button, right? In terms of understanding which markets are best for us as South Africans in terms of focusing on. There are over 230 countries in the world. We cannot be in all of them, but we had to make a decision which one would be on. We have limited resources, so therefore we could apply them diligently and make sure that we can get the best reward or ROI basically for it. So we went through a process, what we call the market investment framework. We used 33 variables that look at the country, GDP, GDP per capita as an example, the income levels, the ability to travel. We looked at connectivity, et cetera, and we use that as a filter to essentially remove a lot of the, you have to filter down essentially our coastal countries. This, we got to a total of 24 markets, 24 countries, and we split the 24 into 16 growth markets and 8 defend markets. This is just a visual description basically of where our MIF has kind of taken us to. This is probably the next 3 to 5 years of where we're going to be focusing on, making sure that we pull as much as we can from these identified markets. It also helps to align, you know, when other departments are supporting tourism. We talk about visas, as an example. We'd like them to prioritize visa waivers or e-visas in the countries that we are investing in. At times, what we've seen is a misalignment where a country gets selected for a visa waiver, but is not within our space of invested. I think that sometimes kind of gives you a bit of a sense in terms of the misalignment over there. This is more from a global perspective as well, because we don't operate in a vacuum, a view from the UNWTO as well. And again, honorable members, you'll find that the views A lot is unknown, a lot is unpredictable as well. And third quarter recovery is spoken about. This year essentially also talked about as the year of the vaccine, and the ones that actually roll out the vaccine the quickest get a competitive advancements basically in terms of being an attractive destination from that perspective. What we did then was that we look at this 24 markets that were identified there. We now, because environment we are in, need to overlay them with a couple of key issues. One of them is travel restrictions. I'll give you an example of a country like the US that is on our market investment framework. However, they have, you know, put travel advisory for travel to and from South Africa. That essentially then puts us out of the radar from the perspective. At the moment, there are 19 countries in the world that have banned travel to and from South Africa. And that in itself, then, we need to overlay it. How many of those 19 fall in our 24 and make sure that we can, you know, allocate, in, you know, capital investment appropriately. What we have come out hard of as well at the moment is that it's very clear to us that our recovery will be led inside out, starting with domestic, then regional, then ultimately international. And this is what really kind of describing at the moment, that we are focusing on domestic, we are focusing on South Africa. You'd have seen that there are lots of campaigns we are launching and profiling each province to make sure that South Africans can travel there. Africa, the continent, is important to us, especially the land borders, now that more are being opened to get some of the traffic starting to come through on that side. Honourable members, I'm now going to jump into the core, which is our APPs and our performance. We have a total of 26 KPIs split over 5 programs. And you would see here that it's not our traditional APPs that we are showing you that would typically focus on the number of arrivals, that will typically focus on spend, geographic spread as an example, length of stay, and. When the borders are closed, essentially, there is no movement from the perspective. So all of those metrics become irrelevant. Here we looked at, say, well, we need to use this opportunity to really work at a lot of our elements that are linked to brand, as an example, partnerships, making sure that our sites, websites become enablers from that perspective there. We also looked in terms of the MySpace to say, well, we've seen a lot of cancellations and postponements. Typically, the cycle of the MySpace is probably in about 3-year forecast, as an example. So we bid for conferences that are going to be happening in 3 years' time and see how we can lend them now as well there. Important as well was around making sure that we use our grading or tourist experience element as an enabler to bring a lot more entrance into it and make sure that it's inclusive and brings that element there. Then on the business enablement side, this is where our digitalization technology play becomes quite key, our B2B-based portal. So whilst previously we focused on identifying, profiling SMEs, we are now taking that a step further to make sure that we can connect them so that you and I and whoever can transact by and their revenues go up as well. And that needed quite a robust element of investment into the B2B space, as it were. And then lastly, the corporate support, which has got a lot of governance and some of the mandatory elements, you know, that all government entities have in terms of reporting on. So I'm going to be taking you through Q2 and Q3 essentially around those elements there. Starting off with Q2, which ends end September, this then kind of gives you a sense. In total year, 20 KPIs out of the 26 were related to Q2, and 16 were achieved. 3 were not achieved, and 1 was significantly achieved in there. Honourable members, I'd like to bring to your attention at times, you know, as with other years, sometimes a timing issue comes into play where a specific card in APP that was supposed to be delivered in that quarter may run over into the next quarter, and what may be red here becomes green when we take through to Q3 as an example. As I said earlier on, is I'm just going to look at the exceptional items. I'll look at the red and the yellows that have come through to give a bit of a sense of how we're pushing through on that side. Okay. For us, the stress for Q2 was really getting this target online, which is our percentage of people with disabilities. The minister did give a sense in terms of the repurposing of some of the state entities which SA Tourism is impacted. And, you know, we took a decision, you know, through board to put a staff moratorium in. So basically meaning not hiring any new staff into the organization until and unless we've got a sense in terms of what this new repurposing would look like. What then that did, it didn't give us a lot of wiggle room to be able to specifically target and bring people on board who have disabilities. Secondly to that, disability is also voluntary disclosure. We cannot force employees who may either be visibly or not visibly disabled. The onus is up to them to come through on board. We've done some work there in informing and educating and making sure we've got the right climate in the organization for people to declare themselves, confidentially, of course, to the organization. And then lastly, honorable members, we've done two things. One is specifically identify recruitment agencies that specialize in people with disabilities so that they are on our panel as well. And then linked to that, we've also entered into agreements, MOUs, with a couple of organizations that specialize or rather represent people with disabilities. That, honorable members, then give us a lot of impetus to make sure that we can resolve this particular element there. I'm moving on now to the next one. Let me start with the yellow one, the B2B base portal. Again, I said this is a platform on the digital. We had a concept that we called the Tech Hub. And this is where a lot of our technology innovation play really came in. And this essentially, the B2B portal base, identifying the market failure of SMEs that find themselves not connected to the industry. Those SMEs that are offline, to bring them to becoming online. We shine the spotlight on them, we bring them a lot of attention, but someone who's sitting in another space is not able to contact them digitally and make the booking, etc. And this is then part of the work that we're doing, making sure we can load all these businesses that are the SMEs that speak to a lot of the elements around VTSD, which is the focus of ours, the villages, the township, and the small dorpies, to make sure that they also are part and parcel of the tourism ecosystem as it were. Elements around this one, the brand repositioning documents developed. Again, we were a bit slow on this one. A lot was unknown and started to shape itself over time. And I'm speaking to Africa. Those two particular events were cancelled because of the pandemic. And at the time, we would have thought that, you know, in 2021, we'll be able to come back online with them. And of course, lockdowns, the pandemic had resurgence and waves. And again, as we speak, there's still a question mark on those particular two conferences as well. So hence, you can't lead with the brand unless you've gotten in the conference confirmed and you know what it is that you're working to in terms of theme, in terms of landing, the key elements that one wants to take out of it. Again, I spoke about the digitalization and the element essentially of driving a lot of our technology. Country websites are important to make sure that in all the countries that we've identified, that we're able to service and give them the necessary focus so that people in those countries searching for South Africa are able to go there and find things. And we're speaking things like virtual tours. Whilst people could not tour the country at the time, they could go in there and do a virtual tour of Kruger, a virtual tour of Cape Town, of villages, or the rural side, whatever it is, to make sure that we can showcase ourselves on that side there. So that was essentially, you know, the key, you know, the red and the yellows essentially from the Q2 side. Q3 here, I think I need to bring your attention to this slide. Please don't see this as a regression kind of going down. I informed you earlier on that we've got a total of 26 KPIs. Some of them only become, you know, delivered or effective at the end of the calendar year. So in essence, you'll see that in Q1, we only had 19 to report on. Q2, we had 20. Now in Q3, you've got 22. That we needed to report on essentially. And again, you'll see then in terms of the shift moving from the various areas here. Honourable members, again, the red highlighted here is the percentage of people with disabilities. We carried that on into Q3 as well. I am, however, very happy to report to you that what is red here has now turned green. However, it was only delivered in Q4. So when we give you the Q4 update, this will turn to green. And how we did that whilst we had a moratorium, some more people declared voluntarily within the organization. And secondly as well, whilst we did not hire external people, we were allowed to hire interns. And we made a deliberate effort to hire some interns with disabilities. So that helped us essentially to be able to turn this red into green. And I really want to applaud the team and the hard work that they did by understanding, you know, how we need to push through on that side. Honorable members, the other one is around, which is a new KPI coming to Q3, business process automation. This is something that we are really been focusing on. You must recall that we run an organization in 12 different countries, in 12 different jurisdictions, in 12 different time zones and times. And that complexity of being able to pull everything together, you know, seamlessly online becomes important. We have found ourselves over time, essentially even with audit findings, missing a beat here and there, because essentially we're not able to have clear line, as it were, to all of our country officers who may not understand the PFMA as intimately as we do, you know, in the center. Always a point of focus and a point of contention becomes around contract management. And all of this business process and automation is helping us to run a seamless organization. It will help us in our efficiency because now there will be less manual intervention. And you've got to look at it in the same way that we are asking Home Affairs to move from manual visas to e-visas. This is exactly the same, where we're taking a lot of our manual interaction and making them e-enabled, as it were, so that we can alleviate some more resources in the organization, but the turnaround, the speed, the accuracy becomes important as well. The area that we are focusing and starting with here is the supply chain management side in terms of getting that right there. The issue here that we have addressed already was that it took us some time to appoint the service provider, but also more importantly, to agree on the contracting with them and some of the elements that needed to be covered essentially on that side there. Honourable members, apologies, I'll bring your attention to program 3 here, the brand repositioning documents developed. You've seen that in Q2, it was red. It has now turned yellow, essentially, which kind of signifies a level of engagement and updates that we've done in order to get it to a yellow state. I'm quite confident that we'll finish the year off that being turned green. This one around traveler trade and arts and culture partnership activated. Again, a timing issue here where we're not able to deliver it in Q3, but it was actually launched in Q4 in February this year, a partnership with the world's largest search engine, which is Google. And again, you can think about the impact that will have in terms of making sure that we can take South Africa to the world. And again, also start to counter some of the negative issues that are being profiled about South Africa to the world as well. I touched on this one around the number of bids supported. At the time when we draw up this APP, we were of the view that the world will recover moderately in terms of the pandemic itself. However, what we've seen is that second and third waves, which are never affected, started to come into play. So our ability now to be able to aggressively target conferences was really, really minimized. We saw less conferences being generally available because people were just not comfortable to travel to other places in the world and spend 4 or 5 days with 4,000, 5,000 delegates. It's something that definitely we did not see on the perspective. And that's something we are monitoring quite closely to make sure that we can address it. But understanding that the pool of conferences globally has shrunk, hybrid is really the flavor of the day, as it were. But we've yet to see what then this means when a good number of people globally have been vaccinated or whether they will bounce back quite significantly there. Honourable members, this is really just a more detailed description of what I've already taken you through up front over there. Key for us here, what I'd like to bring to your attention is one of the elements that you look at from a corporate support side is making sure that all of the audit findings, you know, and corrective actions, both internal audit and external audit, have been addressed. And, you know, it's yellow here because essentially out of 252 corrective actions, six were essentially were still outstanding. But these have been concluded in January as well. Again, a timing issue. We were very strict in drawing the line. What does the situation look like as of end November? But if you stretch another quarter, you'll see then the turns green. So that when we look at the annual view, it will look fundamentally different from what we are seeing here. Again, I've already touched on this one, honorable members, on the percentage of people with disabilities. Again, just to reconfirm that this then changes from red to green because of some of the work and interventions that the team has done essentially on that perspective there. I spoke also this one around the automation side as well. And this is quite an important game changer for SA Tourism. We were almost, you know, in a space of us wanting to deliver as per the APP targets, but also at the same time, we wanted to make sure we do it correctly as well. And this again becomes a timing issue. And the team is already well underway in order to target and make sure that we start, as I said earlier on, with supply chain so that it's fully automated by the end of the fiscus. And we will see those results. It will really, really help us with some of the audit findings that I said earlier on, where you're able to hard code certain things so that irrespective of where you are geographically, when the staff member engages with the system, there's a certain way that they actually have to follow through, and thus less mistakes are made and less pressure down the line to actually start to change some of these things. This as well here, again, I've talked about how then the B2B is ready for launch. It's been launched actually, I think the week of the 23rd of this month. And again, this is also going to be turning from yellow to green, but because of a timing issue here, we are reporting on Q2 and Q3. Still yellow. I'm not touching on the green ones, and this is not you know, flippant in the sense that I want to acknowledge the really, really good work that the SA Tourism team has done in terms of making sure that we are meeting all of our KPIs. But due to time, it'll take me too long if I had to go through each and every single one of them. Here's really give you assurance of how we are changing these things around on that side. Here again, the develop of the brand repositioning for Indaba and Meeting with Africa and Welcome campaign. And again, as I said, there's still some uncertainty around whether we will have Meeting with Africa or Indaba or both this calendar year, as it were. And some proposals are being considered by the minister, but I'm confident a decision will be made in due course. I think once that decision is made, then a full-blown brand repositioning of that you know, two platforms will really ensue and make sure that we're able to reach those targets on that side there. This is also linked on the brand repositioning strategies for Indaba Meetings African Welcome campaign, linked again in terms of making sure that we can drive through on that side. I'm putting pressure on the team to make sure that at least by Q4, we're able to deliver then and make sure that at the very least it's either yellow or green at all, you know, from that perspective there. Honorable members, I did speak about this one around the digital partnerships. And again, this was launched in February 2021. But at the time of the Q3, this was not done or 50% done. It has now turned into a bright green. And I'm looking forward to some of those reports and movements, as it were, the impact of that partnership there. Global Websites is our platform. The chair did say that we had to relook in terms of how now we do our marketing. Essentially, we had no people traveling to the country, so the activations that we did historically would not have been appropriate because you're not able to convert that in terms of people coming in. However, we wanted to make sure that we're not forgotten about the world and we're continuously having South Africa top of mind from that perspective. Again, our website net became the platform that we just created this you know, halo effect about South Africa, communicating and also making sure that those that want to do, as I said, virtual tours, information, et cetera, come through the space. And this is really what we call the Tourism Growth Hub, as it were. And this is some of the work that is slightly behind, but is gaining a lot of traction to make sure we can, you know, deliver on this. And this is the work of this EPMO project office that we did, and really, you know, focused by the organization, where a lot of people had to move out of the traditional roles and contribute towards this element of digitization, something we're really, really proud of at SA Tourism and look forward to the results that they will get through essentially on that side there. Honourable members, this one then relates then in terms of the bid that I spoke about. The pool of the number of conferences has decreased as the world is uncertain when conferencing will pick up again, and that essentially then becomes a lot more difficult with the smaller pool. Secondly, as well, is these conferences typically have a lead time of about 3 years' time. We can't, it's so difficult to even look 3 months down the line now, let alone 3 years' time, you know. So again, this is a very fluid environment, which we are observing quite closely, but we are quite aggressive in terms of making sure that we can get our at least share of the slice or market share, you know, that we've traditionally had on that side. Honourable members, I'm now going to hand over to the CFO, who will then just take us through some of the financial performance. I hope she's online. I know she had some problems, you know, with her mic. But Nomulele, if you're on, please take it from here and just, and then I'll come back and finish off. Over to you.
Good morning. Thank you, Chen, CEO. CEO, if you could please move to slide 38. I'll focus on slide 38 because it shows our financial status as at the end of quarter three. And the reason I'm focusing here is because our year-to-date view also gives a sense of what happened in quarter two. So this is the revenue slide for quarter three. So it's made up of all the quarters, so it's your year-to-date view. I think what's important here and what members, honorable members would remember is that when we revised our APP, our main source of income was the transfer from the department. So I can confirm that to date, so as at the end of December 2020, which is our quarter three, we had received 78% of our annual allocation from the department. In fact, because I have a sense of what's going on in quarter four, I can also confirm that the full amount has now been realized. Also in the APP, when we did our revenue projections, we did not expect to project any income from the other sources or income streams. But what I can confirm is that on the grading revenue side, as well as sundry revenue, which is mostly made up of any surplus funds that we would put into call accounts so as to realize investment income, we've realized 12 million from grading fees. And that share is mostly from establishments that chose to stay in the system regardless of going through the pandemic. And the other reason for the 12 million was realization of the TIP. So those establishments that qualified for TIP funding, we also got to realize 12 million rand in the revenue line stream for grading fees. Then sundry income is purely investment income. So if we get our allocation, any funds that are not committed immediately in a 3 month period are then banked in a call account so that we can build on that capital amount. I'll talk to flexing of budget in the next slide because it's clear to demonstrate. If we can move to slide 39, please, CEO.
Okay, I'm just stuck a little bit. I'm trying to find.
Yes, I can. So on slide 39, actually demonstrate how we allocated our financial resources for the period under review. Chair, what's key here is the reconciliation back to the APP and the revenue slide that I've just shown. In December, quarter three, we go through a process with National Treasury where we have to declare any surplus or deficit. And part of that process is also motivating for any commitments. So when we presented our annual report, which included our financial statements, there were commitments that we disclosed in the annual financial statements, and they were mostly in the brand and marketing side as well as NCB for bid support. So in quarter three, we received the approval from Treasury to roll over or retain funds that are related to those commitments. You will then see that there's a difference between the revenue slide and the annual budget. So it's the move from the 400 odd million to 519 million. And it's because the other funds that are being spent are sitting in your accumulated surplus and are as a result of that approval from National Treasury. What's key here, I think another key component to just explain, because it affects most of our program, is the impact of prepayments. So certain services that we have in corporate support, for example, use IT support, requires that we prepay for certain services, and it's usually a contractual condition. And Treasury does allow where you have a contractual condition in an agreement that says you will prepay, you're allowed to prepay. But what's key for us is that you amortize that amount over the financial year so that you don't sit with an overspend when you come to the end of the financial year. And the focus or the control for us is the percentage of expenditure on total budget, the annual amount. That's what we focus on. So members will see that under Program 1, Corporate Support, we spent 109 million rand, and maybe spend is an incorrect word because the 109 incurred expenditure includes most cash and non-cash items. So included in the 109, it's non-cash items such as depreciation, which is not actually cash, but for purposes of our financial records, because the accounting standard that we use is GRAP, we need to account for that expenditure. So those non-cash items, as you recognize them in the financials, they make it seem like you're going over your budget, but those are non-cash, and there's a reconciliation that happens so that we don't then exceed our budget. And then on the business enablement side, in quarter three, Chair, it shows a 33 million rand spent. The bulk of the work that was done in quarter three was around MIF, our marketing investment framework revision. And the reason for that is that we were going into a planning period. So it was important that we do that research and get those insights and analytics so as to inform our APP for the next financial year. So and that program, 82% of annual budget has been expensed in that business enablement program. And then our core business, which is creation of demand in the leisure tourism marketing program three, what we spent is 305 million. And Chair, this is where you see the impact of the rollover from commitments that I was talking about earlier. Because if you look at the annual expenditure, you are sitting with 283 million, and that's in the income statement. But we know that there were commitments that were sitting in the annual financial statements that related to brand and marketing. So that balance would then increase your actual expenditure, and the other leg is sitting in your accumulated surplus. Other key thing there to note is that the 305 again includes cash and non-cash items, and the one balance that always affects us and that we can't run away with, and it's because of the accounting and the GRAP standards that we use, is the non-cash balance that's related to unrealized foreign gains and losses. So it's losses, and hence the higher actual expenditure than budget. And that's because of the translation of foreign denominated financial results into ZAR so that we can report. So as you translate, that movement would give you either a forex loss or a forex gain. We have a forex loss, but it's unrealized because it's not cash, but it's included in 305 because we are showing actual expenditure in terms of GRAP. And then program four, business events, we have 24 million. again, once that has been committed in that line item. I think for business events, Chair, what is key is that the bulk of the amount that we're showing in business events is commitments in terms of MOU that will only be realized if those events actually take place. But for planning purposes, we need to keep track of all the items that we've committed. So to date, we've committed 24.8 million. And then lastly, in the grading and visitor experience space, we've spent 23 million, which represents 74% of annual expenditure or annual budget. Can we move to the next slide, please?
Not cooperating with me again.
So while we wait for the next slide, slide 40 deals with economic classification of our expenditure, year-to-date expenditure, and it shows at compensation of employee or the employee cost level, as well as other goods and services, what that split was. I think what's key to highlight here, Che, is that when we revised our APP and we did our projection, our funding was mostly skewed towards overhead. But as you get those commitments coming through in the marketing space, you sort of have now a balance between your marketing investment versus your overhead. And I mean, it summarizes or show what I've already explained in the previous slide in economic classification way. We can then move to the graphical representation, CEO, in the next slide. That breaks down our marketing investment, and it shows where we most, if I'm on slide 41, it shows where we allocated our financial resources. I think what was key for SA Tourism during this period was to keep the brand alive. So there was a lot of money pumped into media investment and production, as well as activations. In the countries, there was minimal investment in media. And that we went the social media route so as to keep the brand alive while investing not a significant amount. You will then see that in quarter three, we also started focusing a lot in domestic tourism and marketing. So a significant amount of our budget also started then. We started channeling production and activation in domestic tourism marketing. The other line item where we spent a bulk of our financial resources were capabilities. And capabilities is the money that we spend with our marketing agencies. So that's where we account for all the funds that we use or that we incur with our marketing activities. I will then move, CEO, to the next slide. In fact, slide 42 and 43 as a summary of what I've touched on. Thing what's key for members to note here is it's literally giving a detail of all the numbers that are sitting at program level. So what's key for members to note are the depreciation or non-cash items that I keep referring to when I explain the over expenditure. So slide 42 and 43 gives the absolute numbers in terms of what affects your actual expenditure. And when I say there's a non-cash item that's linked to depreciation, you are able to see those numbers in your slide 43 and 44. 44, I've touched on. It's the same info that impacts the slide 41, which is your graphical representation of our marketing investment. It shows where we spent our money, and the bulk of the money was on keeping our brand alive, and it was the media production and activation space. So I will pause the CEO.
Thank you, CFO. Honourable members, we are now coming to the end of our presentation, and we are now at the stage where we look at the governance and compliance side. I think particularly here, I'd like to bring your attention in terms of during the pandemic, we probably had a record number of meetings, you know, board meetings. Just in Q2 alone, there were six board meetings, and typically six board meetings happen over the entire year. But I think this was a commitment shown by both the board and the executives to make sure that we meet as often as possible or required so that the necessary decisions can be made as the environment was fluid, changing constantly as well, and making sure that you were appropriately responsive to some of the changes and some of the risk that was, emanating basically at that time over there. I think sort of got stuck there. Honourable members, I think this then comes to the end of our presentation. And as per usual, I want to thank you for your attention as well. And we will then pass it back to the chair or deputy chair who's on here, and then we'll take some questions. Thank you very much.
Chairman of the board, do you have some implication to make, or you're okay?
The chairman of the board did have some complication, I think, with his network, Chair. And
That's okay. Thank you very much, CEO, that day, and Jonah and your collective members. That's the report, quarter one and quarter two from SA Tourism Board. We will now give members the opportunity to comment, ask questions, make proposals, and we will start with Honorable Kalipa. Hey, Ndate Kalipa, udemo nanda. Okay, Honorable Kalima doesn't seem to be on the platform. Let's take Honorable Kumbi.
Okay, I hope Nyabunagal Ngozogal. Thanks very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much to the entity for the presentation. I just have two questions. You mentioned that your strategy is to go looking at the local markets and then going outwards, which I agree is the right strategy in the context. I wanted to just check, for instance, to how well you keep certain data. So for instance, if we have to look at the idea of game reserves, or if you are abroad, you call them safaris or whatnot, they're an important tourism attribute locally as much as they are an important tourism attribute globally. And I understand the environment is changing, but as local tourism is picking up, how are they doing in the current environment? So I would assume that in your ability to make sure that these companies continue to stay relevant, they continue to thrive to some degree, and you want them to pick up, you know, as you're spending more money on marketing, etc. How are the game reserves in South Africa doing? Have they picked up in their numbers of receiving people? Because to me, I consider them, for instance, as anchor assets in tourism. The second question, there was comments made around grading and how obviously we still were able to get about 12 million rand in grading fees, even though you have many companies battling to make money, and so some would opt out of the system. Perhaps whether that's temporarily or more permanently. But how has that dropped? I want to know of the number of establishments which are being graded, and the number of establishments which dropped out of grading, and understanding that that is obviously caused by the environment. Thanks very much. That's all I have to ask.
Thanks very much, Honorable Kumbi. Ndate Mutika, it's now your opportunity.
Thank you, Chairperson, and then let me greet the reps from the department, the Deputy Minister, and the leadership of SAT and my colleagues. Chairperson, I've got few questions. Number one being, what process will the minister apply to appoint the incoming board members as this board while GD is nearing the end? And then there is negative perception globally, Jefferson, about the discovery of the new variant. And then that thing on its own is damaging the image of South Africa, as it is now called South African variant. So I want to know, SAT, what are you doing to diffuse that negativity? Marketing-wise, what are you doing to communicate positive message to the world? Again, Chair, I think COVID-19 has taught us that international tourism alone is not reliable. It's not reliable. It's the same as relying on the foreign investor alone. Because, Chairperson, COVID-19 has shown us if we rely on the international tourism alone, one day the whole tourism industry will be dead. So my suggestion is Department of Tourism and SAT, they must be biased when coming to investment. They must invest more money, and we must be given figures and percentages. More money on local tourism, on the development of local tourism than international. They must sustain the international, but at the same time, they must focus more on local so that we don't rely on the outside world alone. And another one being, and on the very same issue of local tourism, I want to know what SAT is doing, or what programs are they embarking on, special programs are they embarking on to promote local tourism and to develop local tourism. Which programs are they, and how much they spend on them? Those are my questions, Chairperson. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Mukoni. We will now take Honorable Mieni. Mhlekazi Mieni. Okay, Ntate Mieni doesn't seem to be there. Honorable Carlo. Ntate Carlo. Ntate Carlo doesn't seem to be there. Honorable Sithole, Ubaba Sithole.
Chairperson, thank you very much, Chairperson. Greeting to you and our honorable members and the CEO and the team of the SAT and the Deputy Minister and the Minister in her ascension. First of all, I want to thank the department, the entity, for actually giving us some detailed information about what plan do they have and what is their projections for the issue of our country coming to to us. But Chairperson, there's some few questions that I'm trying to check. When you check on the report, Chair, they say no travel to Australia, Europe, America, and recovery depend on pandemic trajectories, travel restrictions, vaccine development. So this is actually speak the volume. So I'm trying to check the SAT and the department. What are they, what system do they have to actually strongly market our country to those countries which are not now, which are not preparing to travel because of this COVID-19. Because COVID-19 is not our bay. It started from China, Spain and other countries. So now they took it as our baby. So what I'm trying to check, what travel system do they have now to market our country? And then as a chairperson, I'm trying to check the on business event. I'm trying to check how many numbers of bid that they were supported by the SAT. And the other chairperson is the business numbers of qualified which were generated. I'm trying to check how many, if they actually can give us the number, if they do have the number. And the other one, chairperson, is that an under budget and expenditure. When you check their chairperson, they say the nature of service and legally agreement between South Africa tourism are such that upfront payment are required for those goods and services. You see, this statement, chairperson, it shows that they are making an advance for these goods and services. I'm trying to check why is this thing are happening? Why did they make such an agreement with? So if that's so, if they can give us some actual agreement, if you can get some agreement. A paper to find out actually why are they have been agreed on such a bad attitude. And then the last one, chairperson, is this one. I'm checking that program one. They say there was a delay in contracting with the service provider, raised that dissatisfaction with the specific clauses in the contract. But I see that they have finalized the agreement. But I'm trying to check this chairperson. These minor things are causing a lot of delay, especially on service delivery, because we are here because of our society, of our community. We will need the service delivery. And we are here just to help those who are disadvantaged to get some program in their areas. Thank you very much, chairperson.
Yabonga baba Sithole. Honorable Pushpush.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to the Honorable DM and the Honorable Members, the CEO and the Collective. My Chairperson, thank you very much. I welcome the presentation. Chairperson, mine is just to say I applaud the entity on being able to mitigate with the challenges we're confronted with in terms of the COVID-19 pandemic, Chairperson. Also, Chairperson, I welcome the fact that in their plans, they are committing to ensuring that by end of quarter four, they would have 100% expenditure, Chairperson, and they will improve on the program, on the program performance, Chairperson. Hopefully, Chairperson, they have learned lessons in terms of the pandemic, understanding that it had a devastating consequences on the work of the entity chairperson. We are now on level one with relaxed restrictions. What plans do they have to mitigate and activate domestic tourism? And would they do they have measures put in place to mitigate the negative perception created by global messaging around the SA COVID-19 variant, Chairperson? And hopefully, Chairperson, with the recovery plan, they won't have any hindrances on their work should we be hit by the third wave, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Pushpush. We will now take Honorable Shamima Winkler.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the presenters. I have just two quick questions. The first is, in countries where four countries where we're rolling off the e-visas, are we doing adequate marketing there? That country is aware of that, firstly. And then how are we also going to spread the tourism offering that we have, not only in the metros, but also, as I think they call them, in the dorpies, small towns.
Shami?
Did you hear me?
Yeah, we lost you a bit there. You ended where you were talking about the small dorpies. Honorable Shamima, I hope you got it because the network was not that clear, but we did get your point. Honorable Shamima, thank you very much, my sister. Honorable Gomba.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and good morning to the members of the Portfolio Committee. Chair and the members from the SAT, good morning. Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity. I would like to, Chair, ask a question to the SAT about the remaining 16 million, which was underspent on the marketing, and as well as the 22 million under production, or is it something like production when I read on this, on the presentation, whether is it going to be spent 100% by the end of this financial year? And if it is going to be spent by the end of this financial year, are they going to consider marketing the dorpies and townships? I'm also agreeing with Honorable Shamima there, to say the townships and dorpies must benefit from this remaining days that are going to complete the financial year, the remaining days of March that are going to complete the financial year. And also, if they're not going to spend that money, is it going to be rolled over by Treasury or is going to be forfeited? Obviously, it means we'll be looking at the new allocations for the new financial year. Is it going to be rolled over or is it going to be still forfeited? And now the other question, Chair, is I'm worried about the audit outcomes of the money that was not used but requested to be allocated, because it can show that it is clear that it was allocated in the previous financial year and it was never spent. So it means that there may be an audit outcome that says you requested money that you knew very well that you will never spend. So my worry is the audit outcome and the comment of the auditor thereof. Thank you very much, Chair. I don't have much to ask, but let me comment also the good work that is done by the department, by the SAT, and the, even if it was during these difficult times, they managed to do some of the things, but I'm still saying money was so much returned back, and when the townships and the dorpies were not sure whether they were part of the market or they are still going to be marketed, when money is so much going back to treasury or forfeited. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Gomba. Honorable April has just left to go and attend another meeting of the Portfolio Committee on Small Business. Honorable De Freitas is on the platform but not feeling well, so he will not be speaking. We will now take Honorable Kreko. She was experiencing some connectivity problems earlier. Did you manage, Honorable Kreko? TS? If Honorable TS is not there, Ausieli, Member Makubela, take over.
Thank you, Chairperson. May I request that I leave my camera off as I am also battling with connectivity. I also do not have electricity in the area. There is some fault that ESCOM is working on, because they did send us an SMS to say they are working on the problem, but there is no restoration time. Yet. Honorable Chairperson, mine also is to just appreciate the fact that SAT is an entity tasked with the responsibility of marketing South Africa and its products as a destination of choice, be it a domestic or international tourism, has been able to steer the ship, even though we were transversing on unknown waters, if I may put it in plain English, that we were traveling through this COVID pandemic, not knowing what's going to happen. And because we have now traveled for over a year, we are now living with COVID. Perhaps if I may request that they package and put together a communication strategy that communicates and markets destinations around the country and concentrate and put their energies on marketing domestic tourism. Because for a very long time, I foresee South Africa as a country that will be battling with the world is still battling with COVID, with COVID-19. So perhaps if we can understand and be able to know the repackaging and repositioning of the marketing strategies to concentrate on domestic domestic tourism. Secondly, I welcome the efforts that the minister raised in her opening remarks when she mentioned the fact that they are going to be meeting with ambassadors and ambassadors and ministers of other countries which have red flagged South Africa as a destination not to be visited, or as South Africans not allowed in their destinations because of the new variant. But I want to understand from SAT's point of view, working with other departments, especially Department of Home Affairs and Department of Health, what are the collaborations that they are working on in rebranding South Africa? Because we have been constantly saying that we need to put a message across that says the variant was not only discovered in South Africa, there are many variants across the world. Britain also had its own variant. Brazil has its own variant. And what scientists are telling us is that for a very long time, this COVID will have many variants. So putting us as if the variant emanated or the variant only exists in South Africa is very much putting us on the back foot. But it's upon us to occupy media spaces, to occupy platforms that are there to put the message across, to say the variant is also in other countries, the COVID-19 is still going to multiply and come in many shapes and variants before we are able to contain this flu or this virus. I have not gotten that across. As I transverse the various social platforms each and every day, I do not see positive messaging also coming from SAT, because SAT's responsibility is to brand and reposition and market South Africa as a destination of choice. In this COVID space, you need to put a message that also links up to position South Africa as a destination, but also speaking, telling the world and even citizens in the country that this variant is not a South African variant. I want to pause for now because we cannot change what has happened. We welcome the effort and the work done by the entity, but we want to see more. And the more that we want to see is the rebranding and repositioning South Africa and swelling the ranks of all platforms to put a message across to put a message across that says this variant is not a South African variant. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Makubela. From me, Chairperson, I don't have a lot, because all of us understand the conditions we couldn't predict, under which you still had to implement your program relating to quarter two and quarter three. Because we can't predict the future, we can't blame you for not being able to predict the future. What we appreciate is that yourself and the department and your collective, you adjusted very well to the new prevailing circumstances brought about by COVID-19. In my final analysis, I agree with what honorable members have said, particularly Honorable Makubela, when she says we need to ensure that our focus is also on rebranding and repositioning, and also making sure that whatever money we have, we strengthen our capacity going forward around local and domestic tourism as our pillar of success in ensuring that we build vibrant tourism industry that can contribute to job creation. Honorable Deputy Minister, it's now over to you, companheiro. for you to command your forces to then respond to the proposals, the questions that have been done today. After that, you will then do the necessary political wrap-up as the political principal in the absence of the minister. Over to you, compañero, honorable deputy minister.
No, thanks, Chair. Let's welcome the input and the questions that members have raised. We'll request the CEO and the team to respond to the questions. Then from there, the chair and the board will come in, and thereafter I'll wrap up. CEO.
Thank you, DM, and thank you, honourable members, for the questions there. As I said, I've got a delegation from the EXCO team here, who will then go through some of the questions and make sure those that are answered there. Team, can I please ask you please to go forth and just unmute yourself and start to go through the questions that are relevant in your space. Let's start off with the Chief Marketing Officer, followed by the CCBO, and then COO, and then ultimately CFO.
Thank you very much, CEO. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Chairperson of the Board, Deputy Minister, all protocol observed. I'd like to respond to these specific questions concerning domestic in terms of the data collection and what has been happening in the domestic market. So the way that we track the domestic market is that we run a survey every month, and we look at what has been happening with travel, the types of travel, the destinations to which people have been traveling, and to look at the shape of the travel across the month and across different experience types. And what we've found is that as we sit now at the end of January 2021, is that domestic travel is 35.8% down versus prior year. And the reason for that is obvious. I mean, you know, we have been on lockdown for the majority of the year. There's been no travel. But even in the months where travel, you know, we've gone down to levels where travel has been permitted. One of the things that we know from previous years is that a big part of domestic travel is event-based. So it is occasions where there's either a big event in one part of the country and people travel, whether it's for sport, whether it's for entertainment purposes, for business events, etc. And that layer of travel has still been in the restriction area. So for that reason, we're still seeing that, you know, your classical leisure travel is still occurring. But what is not occurring is the bulk travel, which is event and business event related. So that is what accounts for the big discrepancy that we're seeing in the numbers. Let me just segue here for a moment in a bracket just to say that one of the things that we have been debating is to say that, you know, people are allowed to go to shopping malls. You know, there's no trace of track in a shopping mall. People roam around, people touch product, put them back on the shelves. You know, there's multiple opportunities for transfer of the virus in the retail environment. But if you look at a business events environment, in there you can, you know, apply the protocols effectively, there's trace and track, you know, talented people that are there, the speakers, etc. And that really one of the things that needs to happen is for us to begin to lobby for the reopening of the business events sector. For example, I mean, these meetings used to happen in person. And unless we as the tourism industry begin to lead in terms of getting those meetings to begin to happen in person, there's no reason why the rest of the sector should follow suit, or why the international community should believe that we are actually recovering as a sector. So part of our own behavior, you know, needs to begin to reflect confidence in the destination. because we cannot talk ourselves out of something we've behaved ourselves into. We've got to unbehave ourselves out of it. And that is one of the things that we need to be looking at. In the MedTech, we had the discussion about, you know, action, you know, oriented recovery, that we need to begin to action certain things in order for us to put evidence to the words that we're putting forth. I'm also saying this in relation to the second point, which I want to respond to, which is around international PR campaigns, you know, in terms of being able to message around the variant, messaging that South Africa is actually a safe destination to travel to. That particular area as well, you know, yes, we've got a comprehensive global advocacy campaign, as the Honorable Minister mentioned, that we'll be working together with our international, you know, affairs colleagues in order to be able to drive some of these messaging. And also we are dealing directly with the international trade. We have also got a global media relationships that we're leveraging to be able to put forward those messages. Part of what you do not do when you're in a crisis like this is to appear to be defensive. So rather than going on a publicity, a blank publicity approach, we have taken the advocacy, you know, approach, where you do more of lobbying, direct communication with those that can actually affect and effect change to the policy, rather than keeping it in the public domain, where some of the communication may be construed as being defensive and not being open. I'd like to probably pause there and hand over to the COO, who would take some of these responses further. Thank you very much.
Can you get the next person in, please?
Thank you. I wasn't sure if it is the COO. Thank you so much, Honourable Members, Chairperson, Honourable Deputy Minister. I think there was a question from one question around the business events, and I do think that the CMO also touched on some of it. And how many bids we supported. So up to date, 37. Our target is 48. And these bids are really bids that are for 23, 24, 25. So it is filling the pipeline. And we do believe that by the time, you know, that those bids can be realized, you know, we will be able to host it. So we continue to look into the future, Chair, to make sure that there are, you know, people when we're ready to come to our country. I think what is important is, and the CEO really elaborated also on it, is that there are a uncertainty with specifically some of the bids where they didn't have their 2020 or even now their 2021 edition. And so it's very difficult for them then to look at their 3-year or 2-year or 4-year cycle. But we continue to be in their space, meeting with our clients. But I think something that I just need to link also with some of the members that ask about township and dorpies, and we are rolling out the National Association Plan, where we identify 27 towns that we want to look at to build capacity in these towns to host the smaller national meetings. But the most important thing is, as the CMO also said, is that we really need to start to meet ourselves also. Whether it is hybrid, we can now be 100 people, or, you know, if it is physical. But I think what is just important is that we are supporting now these national association meetings or these national conferences for them to be able to go to the more remote places. So I just thought I mentioned that, and that is something that will definitely be a big focus for us in the next financial year. Thank you so much.
Good morning, honorable members, Chairperson and the Deputy Minister, together with our board and Chair and the Deputy Chair. I would like just to reflect on the three questions that came out, one relating to what have we done to utilize our international offices to communicate positive messaging around our destination. And the second part that I will deal with is just to weigh in on what the CMO has started around, domestic tourism and some of the things that we are doing there. And the third one that I will deal with is around the question of what are we doing to market, particularly in countries where we've received a note that e-visas will be implemented. On the key messaging and just to counteract the narrative that is out there within our international offices, I think when the CEO was giving a presentation, he rightfully said that 2020 was a year where we didn't go out full force to actually communicate and by media and ensure that we stay on top of our game in terms of communication and marketing the destination, given the COVID-19 impact. However, what we've done is we've maintained consumer communication through our own platforms, our channels that we've created, meaning our platforms in terms of our website, our social media platforms that we have been created, but also most importantly, we did continue to communicate with our trade partners. We do know, honorable members, that trade partners play a very important role in terms of partnering with us in selling the destination. We can create that demand, but we need that partner, that trade partner to actually ensure that that booking or that conversion happens. So we did ensure that trade engagement continues, and particularly because the partners that we choose in market have got direct communication with consumers, they've got databases that we need, and it's focused, it's targeted communication. So part of our communication was how do we ensure that as South African tourism, our messaging is aligned to what GCIS is communicating around how the country is dealing with COVID-19, but most importantly, how we deal with responding to the variant. And like the CMO rightfully said, that our tonality is very important when it comes to how we actually push back on the issue of South African variant. As South African tourism, we are aligned to what GCIS tells us. And I must mention that on a daily basis, we do receive our communication team receives notes that comes from GCIS. And then we intend to take that and prepare that and disseminate it across the board in terms of a channel, but also our stakeholders in market. The other thing that I think is very important is the continuous relationship that we fostered with media, travel media, particularly in markets. So we ensured that we leveraged off those partnerships that were existing there to actually educate them what South Africa is doing to prepare itself, to receive visitors when obviously everything is under control. But most importantly, I think the interest is around how is South Africa we're rolling out the vaccine. And I think it's something that is worth mentioning that whilst we were doing this in 2020, countries which are sitting in our competitor set were also doing the same thing, but they were also investing in staying top of mind in these markets. And I think what is going to be critical is going forward as we prepare our plans for the next fiscal is how do we actually bump up communication and the advocacy work that the CMO spoke about, but most importantly, to start in reinvesting in communication and marketing our destination. It's going to be very important to prepare us for recovery. And I think the most important thing there is destination promotion. So we can talk about the variant and COVID and how we're preparing ourselves, but on the other hand, there's greater work that we need to do around destination promotion. What do I mean by that? What is it that the country has to offer? What is the offering and that South Africa has, but also issues that relate to consumer interest? Because at the center of it all, we need to understand where the consumer is, what are the shifts in terms of consumer behavior, so that everything that we sell is what the consumer is looking for. If I can move to issues of domestic tourism, there were a couple of questions that around what are we doing to ensure that we can promote locally. Honorable members, I think towards the end of last year, there was a campaign that was launched, the summer campaign. Basically, the summer campaign was to ensure that we start reigniting demand when it comes to, you know, domestic tourism. And this summer campaign started, I think, in November, and we ended it off from a media and promotion point of view in January. From there, it was very important that we come up with technical consumer campaigns that is going to ensure that our people actually move and they book travel, because they were in the business of getting people to book travel, because that's what is going to ensure that the sector recovers. One of the, you know, other things that we've dealt with, we started in February against the backdrop of the summer campaign. We launched our Valentine's or a Month of Love campaign, which did extremely well. We're consolidating the results. I'm sure in the next sitting we'll be able to share with you the results of that campaign. We're now in we've now launched the Easter campaign, where we're now marketing and promoting deals on our Short Left website and other partners that we have, to ensure that our Easter campaign drive gets out there and gets to the relevant target audience. By our Easter campaign, what we're trying to promote is we know that VFR becomes a key focus for the Easter season. But what we're trying to do is to actually promote even day visits to our attractions and experiences, because that's what is going to sustain these small businesses. But also what is critical there is a partnership with trade, because we can do campaigns, but if we don't have fulfillment partners who are willing to actually come in with price points, with specials, with promotions, to back up the campaign, it's pointless. So I think one of the things that we will do when we come next is to actually to give us, honorable members, a sense of performance around these campaigns that, we have now launched to promote domestic tourism. The last point was around what is it that we're doing to ensure that the countries where there was announcement on e-visas, we market. Already when the minister opened, she did mention that in March, this current month, what we're doing is we've prepared, engagement platforms with our critical stakeholders in key source markets. So obviously the session is being planned with key stakeholders. These are media partners, these are trade partners, the distribution channel. These are the people that actually help us sell the destination. But most importantly, business and corporates play an important role. So we've sort of consolidated all these stakeholders for us to actually begin the work now in March in preparation for the next fiscal. The objective of these stakeholder engagement, if I may, is it affords us the opportunity to now promote our destination and to position our destination for the next booking period, particularly in key markets. And most importantly, it provides the minister with a stage where she could, start communicating how South Africa is dealing or managing the pandemic, issues around the vaccine rollout, which is going to be quite critical in terms of the recovery of the sector. But most importantly, we want to address key issues that particularly the distribution channel has in terms of enabling them how to sell, our destination. So in there, we want to listen to them to say, how do we make it easy for you to assist us to sell our destination? Because it's got far more greater impact in terms of our economy and obviously job creation that we have in the country. In terms of what are some of the marketing plans that we've put in place, one of the critical tactical strategy that we've put in place is we really have to expand the channel. That's one thing that is non-negotiable. What do I mean by that? It simply means that we can no longer just rely on just a handful of partners who sell South Africa. We really are studying the environment and saying, who else is not selling South Africa but selling a competitor destination? And these are the people that we want to start recruiting and bringing them into our books to ensure that they sell a destination South Africa. But most importantly, we want to leverage the use of technology and digital to expand a channel, meaning where consumers buy, that's where we're going to actually place our product and place those deals that we want people to buy. One of the critical technical strategies as well is venturing into e-commerce, because we feel that those are big platforms where consumers actually buy either lifestyle or travel or any other thing that they want. People actually rely on e-commerce platforms to actually buy. So our expansion strategy actually covers e-commerce, and we're taking advantage of the digital world that has suddenly opened up because of COVID. The second aspect of our marketing strategy, particularly in market, is around dialing up partnerships. We believe that as SA Tourism or destinations around the world, partnerships become critical. And these are partnerships that will assist us to increase our brand stature and to ensure that our brand is out there and it's known and people are aware of it and are positive around it. So those partnerships become very important. And these partnerships, honorable members, will be with non-traditional trades, as we know them, the DMCs and the tour operators. We're actually moving from that space, and we're not saying we're forgetting about them because they form a critical component of the value chain. But we want to expand, our partnership, we want to expand our reach using obviously other brands that are well established, and partnering with those to ensure that we inspire South Africa, other travelers from various markets to come to South Africa. And lastly, consumer campaign promotion. Promotion is what would actually put our product out there. It's going to be very important for us to speak directly to consumers, to tell them or to sell what South Africa has to offer. And we all talk about this new story. And the new story of South Africa is how we're actually pushing for inclusive marketing of product, inclusive marketing of our provinces, inclusive marketing of experiences and attractions to ensure that we fulfill the mandate around geographic spread, around our VTSDs. So those are some of the things that we're doing. It's going to need a lot of investment and time, and the most important thing is we have now taken advantage of the digital and technology space that has been opened up since COVID and 19. So those are some of the things that we're doing to ensure that we go back to basic marketing 101 and destination promotion, because that's what is going to put us ahead of our curve. Honorable Makubele spoke about what is our communication strategy to ensure that we take, we have a single messaging and we push towards positioning South Africa as ready to receive travelers, but also just to deal with the whole issue around the variant. I think when the CEO was presenting, the whole issue around the sector recovery is very clear. We know that we've got three critical components that we've got to follow, how we actually reignite demand and rejuvenate supply, as well as obviously ensuring that the capacity is there. So I think from a demand creation, the CMO and team obviously are working around how do we reignite the brand? And I think that's the work that in the next couple of months we'll be working on to ensure that we reposition our brand in the manner in which we want the rest of the world to see us. But most importantly, that's why I said earlier, promotion is going to be very important. Investment towards marketing our destination is what we really need to get up to. And I think it's important for us to ensure that we know what the supply looks like. It's one thing to go out and create demand, and we've got to understand who survived this COVID pandemic. It's very important so that we ensure that whilst we're creating this demand, we know that the supply can actually fulfill. And I think the work that is happening within the Tourism Grading Council, led by Amanda and her team, is to ensure that the supply side is ready to receive visitors as we're busy trying to get back to the levels which we were before the COVID pandemic. CEO, I'm going to put a pin there and hand over back to you to answer anything that I might have left out. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'll focus on the four questions that were asked. The first one was from Honorable Gumbi around grading income and whether or not there were cancellations. So just on at face value, when you look at the grading revenue level in the current financial year, which is the 12 million, versus our normal operating revenue level, which is what I think we usually get on average 26, 24 million rand grading revenue. So it's clear that there were establishments that actually dropped out of the system. The numbers I have, it was just over 1,000 cancellations. And of the 1,000 cancellations, about 217 establishments came back into the system. So we have a net amount of about 940 cancellations. And I mean, there were various reasons for the cancellations. The bulk of it were some of them decided to go the TIP route and therefore benefit from TIP instead of paying for the grading fees from their own pockets. There were a number of establishments that unfortunately closed down and as a result had to be cancelled on the system. And then there was a question from Honorable Sithole around prepayments and when do we prepay and whether or not it's the norm. So Honorable Sithole, I want to assure you it is not the norm, but we do have certain services where we can't transact if we don't prepay. And those goods and services, we have leases where contractually we are compelled to prepay or pay upfront for a certain period. We've got IT support and software services where contractually there are prepayment conditions. And we also have in the marketing space, our media buy and placement, a significant portion of that is prepaid. And the reason it's a balancing act. I mean, working capital management is a balancing act, but where we see that we are able to buy bulk and negotiate discounts up front and linked to economies of scale, we do that. And what becomes then important is the tracking of the prepayment and actually making sure that we reconcile back to value received. There was, third question, it's two questions from Honorable Gomba. The first one was around the remaining budget in quarter four and whether or not there are plans for the remaining budget. So what we do in quarter four, we increase the frequency of reporting and real-time financial management reporting. And the reason for that is that we focus on liquidity to make sure that if there are any plans that need to be funded, they are identified and those activities are funded. So the funds that you're currently sitting as available or surplus, the executive team has gone through a process of identifying activities where we'll have ROI so that we can allocate resources to those activities. And I think there was a comment made around rollover, and I think it's the treasury outcome and not the audit outcome. I can assure members that we haven't sent money back because of a deemed surplus. I think the only money that was sent was due to the revision of the operational plan, but we haven't had money that we had planned or had committed to in an APP that we've sent back. And we've got treasury approval to also confirm that. And then just lastly on, I think the last question that I want to touch on was around the cost for interns. The monthly cost is on average 10,000 rand. So per annum, per intern, it's 120,000 rand. That's the cost for interns. I will pause there and hand over to the CEO.
Thank you, team. Thank you very much for giving an update on some of the questions there. I think from my side, just I'll sweep to some of the gaps that I saw there. Honorable Gumbi, just on your question around safaris and how they're doing essentially and them being major attractions essentially in the country. Like many, you know, countries around the world at the moment, domestic tourism is certainly the space that all are focusing. People are just not confident to travel anywhere that is far, essentially. Now, what then is required of all of the businesses is a bit of pivoting, where you essentially need to reorientate your value proposition through the market that you have, a simple supply and demand, as it were. And we've seen a lot of businesses that previously relied a lot on international, and some are giving heavy, heavy discounts, 50, 60, 70% to some of them, and also modifying the offering. Whilst previously they probably had like 3-5 course meals a day, and then I have two as an example that I'll start to cater for the local market. And then this theme came through quite a couple of times around the South African variant and its negative impact to the world. The CEO did touch on that one, that the lead needs to come, it's coming essentially from the GCIS, who is a machinery for communicating on South Africa. the issue around this variant is more than just tourism. It is a South African tourism. It is an South African SA Inc. Issue. It impacts all the other sectors. It impacts the country investment profile as well. It also impacts medical, et cetera, across the board there. There's also bilateral issues to take into account. So essentially, what we are doing is probably things that are not visible to the average South African, where we participate with our counterparts on the other side. We speak to travel agencies, we speak to tour operators to give them the version basically of what is going on, so that then when they sell South Africa, they're able to do that from a factual perspective. On a weekly basis, we provide them with figures in terms of number of positive cases, and we also provide them with figures in terms of number of people vaccinated, as an example. And we didn't do too well in terms of number of vaccinations. I think yesterday and the day before, only 200 people in the country were vaccinated. So all of these things come into play in terms of positioning the country as well. I think all the others have really been covered on that side. Again, I think just my final takeaway before I give back to the chair is that a lot of what we do, a lot of how we actually start to counter some of the negative elements is done in market. These are typically not visible to South Africans, so they can't see it. But when an incident happens, the teams on the ground engage. We spend a lot of time on webinars, again, making sure the message starts to land from their perspective. But we need a country approach, to this in terms of making sure that we can position South Africa as and not have that stigma that we have. Chair or Deputy Chair, I want to pass back to you. Thank you.
Thank you, CEO and the team, and Chair of the Portfolio Committee and honorable members. I always say that we do appreciate the opportunity given to us to come in account for our performance in various other matters. I think there was one question from Honorable Monteka with regard to the process of the board appointment. I think the ministry is going to respond to that, except that what I could say is it's a process that is governed by the Act, the Tourism Act of 2014. So from that perspective, it can be identify from there in terms of what the process is, but perhaps the Deputy Minister can elaborate further if need be. And then from that perspective, I believe that we have responded to all the questions, Chair and Honourable Members. And once again, let me express the gratitude that we have after this opportunity. And then to DM for the support. Thank you, Exco team. The Deputy Chair is also on the line, if you can come in, Deputy Chair.
Right, thank you very much, Chair. I thought just before the Deputy Minister closes, I should add a word on this South African variant. Honourable Members, Honourable Chair of the Committee, good morning. I think this is one example of an illustration that we must work together as a total country, as the CEO says. You will know better than me that South Africa conducts regular seroprevalence tests because of our incidence of HIV/AIDS. So this variant was picked up by the team that does this seroprevalence test, and they were quick to rush to the media, the scientists, to say, oh, we picked up this variant. And there was even a suggestion that South Africa is the only country that has the capacity to pick up this variant. For us, that is not true. It is just that other countries don't do the seroprevalence test as regular as we do. So we were the first to announce that there's this variant, which is why it then got the tag South African variant. Whereas if we had, I'm not blaming anyone, but if we had just said to the other countries, just check what are you picking up in your countries. You would find that the UK, the US would have picked it up as well already at the same time with us. But because they were just not conducting the test as regular as we do, they didn't pick it up at the same time as we did. So it's that's the context. We really need to make sure that when the scientists feel like we need to show our capacity, we all have to understand what that means for another department, you know, like tourism. So that's the broader context around this issue. And as the CEO says, it has now become a countrywide issue. And as you have seen, chair of the committee, you know, the British are really using their power. I must assure members that there are many articles in the British press that show that it must have been there in the UK at the same time, at least at the same time as we found it. So their scientists have connected it back to a particular time. But our media doesn't pick up those articles. They just pick up the negative ones that relate to South Africa, but they don't pick up some of those. And those of you who have people working in the, there are many South Africans working in the public health sector in the UK. You can ask them to send you those articles. I've received some of them from the people that I know who work in the public health center. So that's the only context I wanted to give, Chair. Thank you very much. And thanks for the opportunity.
No, that thanks very much for the team, for the responses that you've given. And I'm sure the deputy chair has tried to explain that this variant is called South African variant, but in essence, it is a variant that is not only emanated in South Africa. It's just that South Africa is the one that was very active and were able to discover it before any other people in the world could discover it. And unfortunately, media is portraying it in a very negative way, instead of being it portrayed in a very positive way, to say South Africa has got a very working system that was able to detect this variant, which when enabled South Africa then to be able to plan properly and be able to counter it. So we have to, as we do the rebranding, it will be a collective effort of this state as a whole, working together with all government institutions to make sure that we debunk the myth that the South Africa is the home of the variant, which can't be found anywhere in the world. So it's a matter that government must work together so that we're able to deal with it and convince the world that we are working on this thing, we are on a good trajectory, and we'll be able to defeat the virus and be able to bring back to normal, of which critical is the issue that we were saying as the year of vaccine, we must make sure that we try our level best to vaccinate as much our population as practical possible, so that we're able to begin to build confidence to our people, also to the whole world as well. Well, on the process, as the chair indicated, the board is appointed in terms of section 13.3 A of the Tourism Act of 2014, which indicate who are the suitable individuals that must be appointed into the board. The Act just stipulated that who are the people that doesn't qualify. They are stipulated in that section, which indicated that it should not, a non-South African citizen is not allowed to be in the board if you are unrehabilitated and all those matters, if you have been convicted and all those. So they are stipulated what are the process. And then the nomination is that anybody is nominated who qualifies, who have got the relevant expertise that is required, which expertise are stipulated in the legislation. And then based on that, then the minister will then constitute a panel which will assist her to then identify suitable candidates, taking into consideration the skills that will be required in order to perform the functions of the board. So that process is unfolding. The public it's aware, and they're making submissions and nomination as a result of that. And then lastly, Chair, just as I hand over back to you, Chair, is to thank you very much with your team for allowing us, giving us an opportunity to come and account on the work that you've done since the beginning of the first quarter towards the second and the third quarter. We know that we are moving towards the last quarter of the year, which is ending this month. And we believe that by the time we reach that, most of the targets that were red, we hope and believe that will have been turned green at the time. Thank you very much, Chair, for giving us an opportunity to appear before the committee.
Thank you very much, Honourable Deputy Minister Masalela, and the Chair of the SA Tourism Board, and Dade Dube, the CEO, and the rest of the collective of the SA Tourism Board. Aus Mujangu is right. And what she's saying about the attitude of some sections within the political space, the scientists and so on in Britain, it boils down to the global balances of economic control, because even the signs around COVID-19, we may be told that yes, it's about human beings saving lives and so on, but we all know that at the center of it, it's about capital accumulation. So if the South Africa succeeds in able to detect, as Aus Mujangu is saying, to be able to detect as we do on a frequent basis, some of the variants that occur from time to time. From a scientific perspective, it provides an opportunity for South Africa to demonstrate to the world that we face, but also the world's challenges that it faces. So it's an unending struggle between those who control capital globally and us as the emerging Memujangkuhore. We need to understand the context within which this is occurring. I also think that because some of the guys who are making these assertions, it's not only some of the scientists, it's some parliamentarians in Britain. From where we sit as parliamentarians, it may be important, and I think we will have to do that, that's part of the broader communication strategy, to talk to our counterparts in Britain and give them the facts so that in the course of the proceedings of their own parliamentary sessions, they can help us in communicating a message of positivity around this particular matter. So, Deputy Minister, Minister, you can do your bit there. Our colleagues who are in the embassies can also make some contribution. Our delegation collective that is in the United Nations can also do their bit there. The World Tourism Association, on a consistent basis, I think we need to be talking to them because they are a body with authority in as far as their voice is concerned. So if they are to be convinced of our stance, our context, how we deal with these challenges, and they communicate a message as a world body that deals with these matters of tourism, it will be half the battle won. But we have to understand, this is an unending struggle. It will always be about who globally controls the powers in as far as the economy is concerned, through science, through issues of the environment, through many other things which globally we are dealing with. Deputy Minister Ntate Mashalela, thank you very much, compañero, for the manner in which you steered the ship today, the manner in which also the chair of the board and the CEO and the rest of the members of the board steered the ship today, and the members of the portfolio committee for the contributions that we made. We don't have an adversarial relationship with the department and the SA Tourism Board, and I think we must maintain this because governance and this the wings or the branches of the state don't have to necessarily have an antagonistic relationship. They must have a complementary relationship, and objectively, if there are issues to be raised as constructive criticism, we accept that so that our country that we built, South Africa, can continue to be envied by all and sundry across the world. So, we are now getting into our own session as the committee. Ntate Boltina.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Goodbye.
Okay. Mwailuo.
Thank you, Chair.
Hamansen. Hambaniga. Siabule. Ntate Boltina, the minutes, honorable members, were circulated to the rest of us as a team. And I'm sure we have gone through the minutes. So we are now at a stage where we must have a proposal for the adoption of the minutes as a true reflection of what ensued in our meeting. That's where we are now. Can we have a proposal?
Honorable Chair?
Hi.
Yeah, I move for the adoption of the minutes as a true reflection of our meeting.
Is it push-push? Is it honorable Pusha? Yeah, I think it's honorable Pusha. I can hear from the voice. Who is the seconder?
Chairperson.
That is all.
I second the honorable Pusha.
Ah, imbonga kakhulu ke basithole. Sibonga kakhulu. Kuthi wayichaza le proposal le. Is there any objection, honorable members? Okay, not the objection, Ayiko. So the minutes are now adopted as a true reflection of what ensued in our last meeting. The next item, Ntate Boltina, brief us about Limpopo Oversight Visit and Cape Town Waterfront.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks once again. Chair, we were given three tasks, I think, last time by the portfolio committee that we need to work on them. One is this Limpopo provincial oversight, Chair. Chair will remember this has been a moving goalpost for quite some time. Initially, we wanted to undertake this trip immediately after we have concluded the annual report last year. Unfortunately, we were not able to do so because the Parliament National Assembly had to change the program of Parliament, and that thing affected a number of committees with the plans of the committee. And then we also wanted to do it early this year. Unfortunately, there also were issues of training and all of that for members, and also the subsequent changes in the program of the National Assembly. Then when the committee indicated to us that we need to rework the program of the committee, as a support team chair, we had a view that to us, it might be possible that we take the 23rd of March up to the 26th, that whole week. But in terms of what it has been revised by Parliament, the National Assembly Program Committees, we see that the constituency period is starting on the 23rd of March, and it will end on the 3rd of May. And what we have also observed, Chair, is that we see it looks as if for the oversight work has been, time allocation has been little bit reduced, and the time for constituency period was expanded. Unfortunately, that decision was taken by the higher structures, Chairperson. It's not really up to us to dictate to them what to do. The only thing we can do is just to appeal through to you, Chair, through the structures that you belong to in terms of the committee of chairs, so that what is allocated to the portfolio committees of Parliament must not be taken through the back door, because these things they affect our plans going forward. What we see now, the date that was penciled out, say, or in our program, we see a week in the first week of May, which is the 4th up to the 7th of May. We proposed that oversight trip to Limpopo, we undertake it at that particular time, Chair. One of the reasons, Chairperson, is that all the province that is appealing for from us is that we must give them sufficient time so that they can do their mobilization work with the district as well. Now, I am told that the Limpopo chair has 5 districts, your Capricorn, your Mopane, Kokoniland, Vembe, and Waterberg. Now, one of the things that we want the committee to assist us in making a decision is that out of these 5 districts, do we take them at one goal, all of them, or do we take 3 of them? So that the communication that we send to the legislature, it can be clear, and the message that they will send to the district, it can also be clear. And so the likes of Ndate Mutika, they can assist us on this matter, Chairperson. So that's the first proposal that we're making, Chairperson, to the committee, that let's pencil that first week of May for this oversight to Limpopo. And then the second oversight, Chair, if we do find...
Before you go to the second.
Okay.
Let's deal with the first. You will remember, Ndate Boltina, that the approach we adopted of Letofo, among other things, is that when we go to provinces, we will work with our provincial counterparts, which means if you are a provincial legislature, when we go to the province, is the totality of that portfolio committee plus us, including the municipalities, right? Through SALGA. So we will have to do the entire province, the 5 districts. of Limpopo. Yeah, so that will have to be like that. But members, what I want to check from you is whether we agree on the suggested dates in May, because we are now going into recess.
Supported, Chair. We support it, Chair.
So it's agreed unanimously. That is what we will do. A lot of preparatory work will then have to be done. Let's talk about the waterfront now, Ntate Boltina.
Okay, Chairperson. I think the second point as well is that the committee will recall, Chair, when we had a meeting with Minister Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma. One of the issues that he explained to the committee was this whole district development model. So one of the decisions that the committee was taking was that given a chance, we also need to visit the Wild Coast to experience the implementation of that district development model. So what I'm saying is once the time becomes available, Chair, that's also one of the issues that we as a committee we will have to look into it.
Yeah,
Eastern
Cape.
Yes, with regard to waterfront, honorable members, after the meeting, the chair signed off a request that was going to the House Chair. House Chairperson approved that trip so that we can go to waterfront to experience that rapid screening and testing there. Members will recall the Tourism Business Council, when they were in front of, appeared before the committee, they allocated it to us somebody that we can communicate, somebody who is in Cape Town. We are constantly in contact with that person, Chairperson. So the trip to waterfront, it has been approved. Now, what I wanted to check, Nosuko was advising me on this check, because we wanted to check, because we sense that since the pandemic, we are not sure of how regular these buses from the parks of the members to Parliament. So one of the suggestions that we were proposing, whether will it not be proper for us to send our transport to pick up the members from the parks, and then we will schedule the meeting for waterfront for 10 o'clock. That's one thing we were suggesting. And then the second thing, then we will suggest then members to provide Nosuko with all their addresses in the parks, so that those vehicles can go there instead of you traveling to Parliament and then we pick up you in Parliament. Because we do know that the buses that sometimes, since most members are not around, those buses are not regular in terms of visiting Parliament on the scheduled times as when the House is in session. So that's the thing that we are suggesting, Chairperson. That is it. So if members can arrive, let's say on the evening of a Monday, then
the date is
next week, Tuesday, Chairperson, the 16th of March.
Okay, I wanted us to make the date clear.
Yes, it's the 16th Tuesday, the 16th of March.
Can we work out the logistics offline so that we don't keep the meeting on logistics?
Okay, now it's fine, Chair, it's fine.
Yeah. Honorable members, there it is then, next week Tuesday, CAP starts, VNA Waterfront. Is it agreed?
Agreed, Chair. Agreed.
Okay. Baya danki. Bonga kakhulu. Thank you very much. Siyabulela. Our meeting was very successful. we have arrived at very critical decisions, including on oversight and so on. And as usual, honorable members, I want to thank you for the energy that you always show, the passion, engagement. You are not running out of ideas on how we must pursue this strategic objective of repositioning tourism as a necessary pillar for the growth and development of our economy here in the Republic of South Africa. So this is how we now come to the end of the meeting. Today we will meet in Cape Town next week in the morning of Tuesday. See you in Cape Town. Hambani kahle. Ontmoet daarso.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Take care, all. Bye.